Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Now, we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and though we're not Jews, devout Jews will recite a portion of this passage, verse 4, at least twice daily. And this is a very important portion of God's Word to Jewish people. It is an essential part of God's Word to us as well. Hear the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy chapter 6. As Moses of old writes, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And from Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me in my ministry." The word of the Lord. I just read from Paul's second letter to Timothy, and before that, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Timothy, in particular, is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He probably wrote it about the year 67 AD. Paul was imprisoned, waiting to be executed, and he wrote this letter to encourage young pastor Timothy in his ministry at Ephesus. Paul emphasized the need for faithfulness in the face of hardship. Let me say that again. Faithfulness in the face of hardship. According to tradition, not long after Paul wrote this letter, he was beheaded in Rome. For many years, I had a book. I think I still have it somewhere. It's called Where's Waldo? How many of you remember that book called Where's Waldo? Yeah. Each page has a different scene from history. And you have to look through the crowds of people to find Waldo. He's always wearing a red and white striped sweater. He's big glasses. And for years, I kept that book in my pastor's study. Whenever a parent would come wanting to visit, or some parishioner would come to the church office, sometimes they'd bring their kids, and their kids would be bored as bored can be. So I'd give them that book and tell them to find Waldo, and that'd keep them busy for a little bit. Now, in our passage from 2 Timothy, I find myself asking a question, where's Demas? Not where's Waldo, where's Demas? We are told that he deserted the Apostle Paul and he headed to Thessalonica. In fact, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10 contains perhaps some of the 10 saddest words in your Bible. We are told, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me, said Paul, in chains in Rome, who needed companionship, who needed his co-workers close by. Now, who was this deserter by the name of Demas? He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. We know that he was a co-worker with Paul the Apostle. And from what we can gather, he started well in ministry. And he made a valuable contribution to the kingdom of God. Demas was part of the team. And I can imagine he and Paul and others huddled over a map, huddled over these parchments, looking where they're going to go next, figuring out the adventures for the Lord that were just around the corner. And I can almost hear the excited conversations that Paul and Demas and others had about witnessing to Christ and establishing churches and going where no man had gone before with the gospel. But then it happened. By the time he wrote this second epistle to Timothy, Demas was gone. Where's Demas? Well, it seemed he loved the world more than he loved the Lord and the Lord's work. He left Paul to go embrace the world. I read an interesting statement the other day. It said, human nature gravitates toward whatever or whomever we love. Human nature gravitates toward whatever or whomever we love. That's true. A book I read titled, You Are What You Love, the author of the book says that we need to remember that human beings are first and foremost lovers. We are defined by what we desire. We are what we love. Look at the screen there before you. You see a woman holding a globe and she's kissing the globe. She's in love with the world. We are what we love. We are what we desire. I love my wife. She's not here today, but she knows I love her. Last night I had a dream about my wife. She's in Birmingham, Alabama. And I dreamed that we were walking on a beautiful Florida beach. And I got up this morning and I found footprints in the cat litter box. you like that? Sarah and I found the secret to making a marriage last. We love one another. So two times a week, yeah, we have date nights two times a week. We go out to a restaurant, have a good meal. She goes Tuesdays, I go Thursdays. That's the secret for a healthy marriage. And now that I have your attention, enough of that. Someone has said, be careful what you love. You will go there and live or die. Be careful who you love. Those are the arms that will embrace you or crush you. Be careful whose roses you accept. They will lay claim to your heart. Demas gravitated toward what he loved, the world. And that is the temptation all of us face as Christians. The pull of the world, its attraction is so strong. And all of us on occasion fall into temptation. We're all seduced by the world more often than we like to admit. 1 John 2:15, you can see it on your screen, says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a strong statement. It's a blunt statement, and it is true. God knew what he was saying when he included that in his word, because God knows, as we know, it can be so easy to get distracted, to fall out of love with the Lord, and to fall in love with the world. How many of us know it's hard to be in the world, but not of the world? That doesn't mean, of course, that we retreat from the world, that we all run off and join a monastery or a convent, that we head for the hills and try to escape the world and go join some cult or commune. It does mean, though, that we have to beware of loving this world and the things of this world more than we love God. If we're not careful, we'll love the creation more than the Creator. I remember the first church I served right out of seminary. It was a great church, and it was pressure-filled and pressure-packed like most pastorates are. And my way of release, my way of de-stressing was to go fish. I loved to go fishing. We had lakes and stock tanks all over that part of Texas, and so I would go out and I would fish. Well, we had a super spiritual woman in our church, and she just couldn't understand why her pastor liked to go fishing. She thought pastors just sat around all day and prayed and read their Bible and did spiritual things 24/7. And I had to share with her that I needed that time away. Because Christians who don't come away from time to time and come apart are just going to come apart. Now, Paul is not saying, and the Word of God is not saying, that we need to just avoid the world. We want to guard against legalism, but we also have to guard against license, becoming so in love with the world and taking things so lightly that we're easily pulled away from the Lord. We want to avoid legalism on one hand and license on the other. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. I'm glad God put those fishes in the water just waiting to be caught. I'm glad God put those big bucks out there in the woods just waiting to be harvested. I'm glad God has given us this beautiful world to enjoy, and we live in an extra beautiful part of God's Word here in sunny Florida. So we want to enjoy the world, but let's not let the world live in us. A great man of God, a Puritan by the name of John Trapp, said, and I quote, "Pleasure, profit, and preferment are the worldly person's trinity." So we want to be careful about giving our hearts to pleasure and profit and preferment. Jesus says it is impossible to serve two masters. The Christian is to live in the world, but must not let the world live in him or her. Demas, it seems, tasted the world, and he loved the world, and it pulled him away from the work to which he had been called. Now, it's easy to look at Demas and to highlight him. What about us? How do we know when our love for the world has become too strong and the needle has moved over into the danger realm? A very wise Christian from the 19th century named Octavius Winslow pointed out that there are certain indicators for Christians when our love for the world increases and our love for the Lord decreases. Here are the five indicators he mentioned. First, the loss of spiritual enjoyment. That's what happens when our walk with the Lord becomes sporadic and joyless. We just sort of bump along spiritually and we become rocked to sleep. The things of God become drudgery and boring and duty rather than delight. One of the main indicators that we have fallen in love with the world like Demas is when we find ourselves losing our spiritual enjoyment. God never intended that this thing called Christianity should be lifeless and dull. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Those of us who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good would not want to go back to anything else. I've tasted of the world, beloved. I've tried what the world has to offer. I got deep into the world decades ago and went places I didn't need to go and put things into my body I did not need to put into my body. and had relationships with folks I had no business having relationships with. But now that I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, He is good indeed. Let us look for loss of spiritual enjoyment. Secondly, when there is a loss of appetite for the Word of God, our spiritual food, our Bibles become neglected when we start getting pulled back into the world. We will feed ourselves on worldly junk food, television, and all the things the world has to offer, but we will neglect the nourishing food of sacred Scripture. This is our soul food. Many of us love to eat. I love to eat. I love to eat. I'm thankful for good food, for fine cuisine. But I have to remember, too, that I have to do more than feed my body, because this has been given to feed our souls. And when we lose an appetite for the Word of God, it is an indicator that we have started to love the world more than the Word. Third, a loss of a vital prayer life. I read somewhere that the average American Christian prays less than 5 minutes a day. And yet, how many hours do we spend in front of a television or on social media? Enough of that. I'm stepping on some toes now. Let's pass over that one. The fourth indicator that our spiritual life is growing cold and that we are falling in love with the world is loss of charity toward other people. When we start criticizing and grumbling and complaining and gossiping, when our love grows cold toward people and we no longer see them through the eyes of Jesus and with the heart of Jesus, when we become critical and judgmental, often we are warm toward the world and cool toward the Lord and people. Fifth and finally, Mr. Winslow said that one of the indicators that we're growing more in love with the world is our loss of affection for Christ. When Christ no longer becomes our consuming passion, when we are more in love with this world and the things of it than we are with the one who made the world, the Lord Christ. And so we need to be on the guard, on our guard, and watchful and vigilant. Demas is an example. He loved this old world. Now, Paul mentions Crescens and Titus. He didn't say anything of concern about these two fellows, only that they had gone to Galatia and Dalmatia, presumably carrying on the work of the Lord. Maybe Paul dispatched them there for ministry. But only Luke remained with Paul in his hour of need. Timothy was instructed to go get Mark and bring him to Paul. But Demas, we are specifically told, deserted Paul and left him because he loved the world more than the Lord and his work. So all that being said, how should we live 2,000 years later? Can I say, first of all, let's learn from Demas and from his example. He started out on the right track as a co-worker with Paul, but the world proved too strong in influence. Demas loved this old world too much. And so I ask you, who or what do you love? What are you gravitating toward in life? What has won your heart? Secondly, let's beware of the seductive power of this world. The pull is strong, so strong. Don't let the current of popular culture just carry you along wherever it wants to go. So many Christians, so many churches today are just going with the world, living by the world's standards, doing what the world doth allow. And God says, don't go that way. Be a fish that swims upstream. Go against the current of popular culture. Third, let us stay the course. Let's finish strong. Deuteronomy 6 speaks of keeping God's word at the forefront of the lives of God's people. God's people long ago were exhorted to love God with all their might and to keep the word of God close to them. I love in many Jewish synagogues today, whenever the rabbi reads from the Word of God, what will he do? He will kiss the Word. That's a visible indicator that that rabbi loves God's Word. Jesus would kiss the scroll in good Jewish fashion. When he would read God's Word, when he stood up in the synagogue and read from Isaiah's scroll, he kissed the scroll. Let us keep the Word of God first and foremost. Let us love the Word of God and the God of the Word. Let's keep it close. Let's let our children know, let them hear from us about the Word of God. I've been teaching my children lately. They always hate when I mention them from the pulpit. But I've been encouraging my children lately to don't neglect their soul food. Don't neglect the soul food. And in teaching them, I'm preaching to myself. Don't neglect God's Word on a daily basis. Let's stay the course and finish strong. Let's keep this diet in our lives daily throughout the day. Demas loved this present world, and he deserted Paul. What a terrible legacy. That's what he has come to be known for 2,000 years, as a lover of the world and a deserter of the ministry to which God called him. May we learn from Demas, and may we love not the world, but instead may we love and rekindle our love for the Lord, our love for his Word, our desire for prayer, our affection for Christ. May we learn from the examples of sacred Scripture, and may we live accordingly. God bless you, my brothers and sisters who love the Lord, who love the Word. And let us, as we go into this week, into a brand new week, the world awaits, let us go ready to be salt and light. Let us go and be ready to live as the people of God, to change this world for the Lord. We've got one life and one shot at this life. Let's make it count for Christ and the kingdom of God. And let the people of God say with conviction in their hearts, amen. And let us pray. Lord, we're living in a time when this old world is pulling at us and would seek to pull us in and to just have its way with us. But we've been reminded today from your holy living Word that we are not to go the way of Demas. But Lord, we are to love you, to love your Word, and to be people of the Word, to be people of Christ who belong to you and whose hearts have been given to you. May the world not have them back. Oh God, I pray that you would encourage us with your Word today, that we would enjoy the summer and enjoy this beautiful part of your creation. May we live in this world, but may we not let it live in us. For the Bible tells us in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth. Lord, you created all things out of nothing. And we stand amazed. You dealt patiently with us, Lord, when we wandered into sin. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only begotten Son to die upon the cross, to be resurrected from the dead, that we might be forgiven and be partakers of new life. O God, our Father, we give thee thanks for creating us, for redeeming us. We thank you that we are not orphans, but you have sent your Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. O God, we thank you that we are new creations. The old has gone, the new has come, and we are bound for glory and filled with your presence, your life, and purpose and meaning. O Father, for all of this and more, we give thee thanks and praise today. We worship you. We adore you. We look forward to that day when we too shall be in heaven, home at last, there with the elders and the living creatures and the citizens of heaven, surrounding the throne, lost in wonder, love, and praise. O God, until that day, may we live for your glory and honor. May we shine brightly for Christ in a sin-darkened world. May we be difference makers and world changers for Christ. Dear Father, we come before you and pray for this troubled world. We pray for the nations of the world. We pray for Jesus to be known and loved and worshiped and adored. We pray for the Son of God to be magnified more and more and more. God, we pray that we might be courageous and bold to stand against our culture, to not say yes to those things in this world that are contrary to your word, but Lord, to be people governed by your word and spirit, living under the lordship of Christ. Oh, Father, we pray this day for those in need of your gracious and healing touch. We remember in prayer our president and the leaders of this nation, the leaders of our state and our city. We pray that you would raise up good and God-fearing men and women to lead us. We pray, O God, that you would have mercy upon our nation. We pray for revival and for an outpouring of your Spirit once again. O God, these are prayers that are seemingly impossible. But God, with you, all things are possible. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. And so all of this we ask and pray in faith today in the name of Jesus Christ, to whom with you, glorious Father and the Holy Spirit, be all the praise, glory now and evermore, even as your people say, amen.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
Been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.